Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, it's the end. It's the last Sunday of the year. I think a lot of us have, many of us thought we would not have made it this year. With all the trials and all the struggles we have gone through. The Lord has been faithful. Amen. Amen. And I would like to sing this song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Shall we arise? Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest sin and a peace that endureth. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Lord, we thank You. You've been so faithful. You've been so faithful. that we have all to thank you for 2013. And we know that 2014 is going to be a manifestation of your faithfulness, your greatness, and your power. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And God's people say, amen. Amen. The Lord, hallelujah. No, when I sing songs, yeah, you may be seated. Amen, amen. Thank you, worship team. Nigel says I have to pay him for the last song that we sang. Well, praise the Lord. You know, it's good to be in the house of the Lord, especially in the last Sunday of the year. To really thank the Lord for all that He has done, for all that He has done for you, brought you through, held you together, comforted you in times when you could not make it the next day, and you are still standing here today. Amen? Because He's faithful. Amen. I want to speak to you today from the Word of God. Where else can I speak from? But amen. You know, a lady, sister asked me last week, what are you going to speak? I said, I'm going to speak the Word of God. You know, she looked at me and she said, yes, I'm going to speak the Word of God today. A couple of months ago, I spoke about a topic called The Walls Must Go Up, called Rebuilding the Walls from the Book of Nehemiah, and the criteria we need to establish to become that kind of a man or a woman of influence in rebuilding the walls of a society, the moral fabric, the social fabric, and the spiritual fabric of our country. But today I want to continue from where I left off, and I want to speak to you about rebuilding a very particular wall that God is looking for in this day and age. I want to speak to you, and I want to entitle my sermon today called The Word of God. You know, our forefathers did a lot of work in establishing the truth within our systems that we live by. And they established the need for God and attributed everything to the Word of God. We now see this truth and this structure and this infrastructure dwindling. And you know, just a few days ago, I attended a Christmas service. One of the items during the service was the singing of the national anthem. I do not do too well in remembering anthems, but I sang, you know, I only know Advance Australia Fair. You know, that's the three words that I know. But you know, when I was there listening and participating in that song, I could just sense a moment of patriotism, with the acknowledgement that God, only you can do it for this nation. And I spoke to another brother that same day, and he said that in his country, the national anthem confesses the need for God to help with the governing of the country, to help with the success of the country. But you know, friends, today we see the reverse happening. Today, many nations are taking the Word of God out of everything that God has given them. We see the Word of God being taken out of schools. We see the Word of God being taken out of society. Christian schools are not doing much in their act of faith. In fact, the very purpose to which they set forth from, it's not the same anymore. I can think of universities who start off on a spiritual note, but today they have gone all secular. The moral, the Christian, the spiritual fabric that governed that institution is dissipating. And what there is one thing that remains constant throughout the time. If you look at the economy today, the fiscal decline, if you look at the social decline, if you look at what is happening, the moral decline that is happening, evil is on the rise like never before. You know, the last 15 years, I've not seen as much escalation of a proliferation of evil like I've seen, not seen in the last 30 years. We have more coming out in the media today. We have more coming out in the mass media today of the evil that is happening around the world today, of the place where people are just forgoing and forgetting the Word of God. But there is one thing that remains constant throughout time. There is one thing that remains as a standard. There is one thing throughout time, no matter what happens, there is one book that has maintained its consistency, that has maintained its integrity. And that's the Word of God. And I want to look today into the Scriptures at how one man's act can bring an entire nation. By removing the book of law from a nation, how one man's act can bring the entire nation into decline. And then I will look into how another man's act can bring the nation back up again. And then I'll tie the two together and put a personal application to our lives. Please turn with me to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 21. Today we're going to be looking at a couple of scriptures, so, and that's the way. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 21. If you're there, say amen. Reading from verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother was Hephzibah. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. He raised up altars for Baal and made, and made a wooden image as Ahab king of Israel had done. And he worshipped all of the hosts of heaven and served them. He also built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, in Jerusalem I will put my name. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven and two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his son pass through the fire, practiced soothsayings, used witchcraft, and consulted spiritists and mediums. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. He even set a carved image of Ashereth, and he made, and Ashereth is the god of, basically, it's a sensual god. And he made a carved image of Ashereth in the house of which the Lord had said to David, to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I've chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. And I will not make the feet of Israel wander any more from the land which I gave their fathers, only if they carefully do according to all that I've commanded them, according to the law that my servant Moses had commanded them. But they paid no attention, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spoke by his servants the prophet, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, has done these abominations. He has acted more wickedly than all the Amorites who were before him, and has also made Judah sin with the idols. Thus, therefore, says the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such a calamity upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whoever hears it, both his ears will tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the measuring line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab. I will wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. So I will forsake the remnant of my inheritance and deliver them into the hand of thy enemies. And they shall come victims of plunder to all their enemies, because they have done evil in my sight and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came out of Egypt, even to this day. Let's pray. Father, I ask of your blessings for the word today. I pray you take the word. It's not my word, it's your word, Lord. And you speak it into our hearts. And I pray that many will be touched and blessed, including myself too, Lord. Hide us behind the cross, that only Jesus and Jesus alone be glorified. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. As per the custom, have a bit of water. Israel had entered into a very dark time in their history. In fact, one of the darkest times, actually. In the reign of King Hezekiah built and restored the high places. He restored the law of God, which is the prime most importance in any structure that you build. The word of God becomes the foundation. And when Hezekiah died, Manasseh was very young and he took over the reins of the kingdom. And he led a reaction against his father's reformation. You know, G.K. Chesterton, I said this before in the last sermon, G.K. Chesterton once made a statement and he said this, if any man wants to tear down a fence, first find out why the fence was there in the first place. Pause hard and think why that fence was there in the first place. So any of you who wants to pull down a fence in your home, pause hard to think why the fence was there in the first place. The fence speaks of boundaries. When you have a fence, you set a demarcation. And the moral law was given, that God gave to Moses at Mount Sinai, did exactly that. It formed a fence, a boundary line, so that the people would be safe and protected within the laws of God. And in the reign of Hezekiah, he restored the walls and the fences. Brothers and sisters, the rule and reign in Manasseh of what he did, the evil that it did, metaphorically speaks of what is happening to us in the world today, where the systems are tearing down the law of God, taking God out of the systems, taking Him out of the songs we sing. In fact, it was not too long ago, just a few days ago. I will not mention the name, and I'll leave the town unnamed. They removed the word Christ and Savior out of Silent Night. How do you sing a song without Christ and Savior in Silent Night? They removed Christmas, Christ out of Christmas. The centrality of what we believe is being questioned. I know I said just now, we look at the education sector, the institutions that started off with strong Christian legacies. Today have lost the legacies to which they have built the institutions from. Bible teachings have been removed. New age practices have entered. And once upon a time, that which held the nations and the world systems have now decimated the word of God. The family unit is disintegrating. Same-sex marriage, it's advancing and propagating. And they are twisting the word of truth, the word of God, to meet their lifestyle. In the government sectors, people are now placed in positions of authority that have no spiritual regard for the things of the word of God. And that was what Manasseh did. In fact, he placed the mediums and the spiritists, people who practice witchcraft, in high places, in government positions. And we see that happening today. And the whole decline puts a sad note because any form of reasoning fails. Now you might be asking me, why am I harping on this over and over again? Because until you and I feel the pressure in our own soul, nothing is going to change. Nothing. Until the Word of God becomes alive and well, nothing is going to change. We become people who practice the Word, live the Word, make the Word of God the final authority, things will change. History tells us. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 3, you don't have to turn to it, I'll read it to you. For the time is coming where people will not endure the sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. When we remove the law of God, friends, from the truth, we become vulnerable. And we open ourselves to all kinds of deceit, to all kinds of twists and turns. And that's why today you have many cult groups, many people with all kinds of beliefs, because they have taken the word and they have twisted the word and have done it for themselves. Brothers and sisters, many have tried to burn the Word of God. Many have tried to destroy it. But it has always outlived those moments. I remember a Muslim man, a fanatic actually. He was a very strong, a Muslim person who is almost on the verge of jihad. And one day the head of that Muslim group said to him and gave him an order. And that order was this: I want you to go and study the Bible, the book of the Christians, so that you will counter-respond any conversions that happens. And he studied. He was a very pious religious man. He used to beat up women. He used to cage them. He's a fanatic, basically. But the amazing and glorious thing happened. You cannot read the word and not have it impact you. Our friend got saved. Our friend got saved, and he had to take a run because they were after his life. But he found in the scriptures life. And he got saved. Brothers and sisters, where the river of God's word flows, there is life. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 22. I'm going to read a few verses, so just join me. 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 1 to 2. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Edidiah of Bosketh. Can I just add a clause here? You know, when we were preparing this sermon yesterday, my wife was typing it for me. She said, maybe we should call our son Edidiah. I said, no, we'll leave that. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Now it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that a king sent Shaphan the scribe, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may count the money which was brought into the house of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have gathered from the people. And he led them and delivered it into the hand of those doing the work, who are overseers in the house of the Lord. Let them give it to those who are in the house of the Lord, doing the work, repair the damages of the house to carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hew stone to repair the house. However, there need be no accounting made with them for the money delivered unto their hand, because they deal faithfully. Then Helkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And while they were repairing the house, they found the book of the law. And Helkiah gave it to Shaphan, and he read it. And let's jump to verse 13. This is King Josiah saying this. Go inquire of the Lord for me, for the people of all of Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because of our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. One of the things that Josiah restored back to the nation was the authority of the word of God. The law of God is the final authority, and it set the standards for everything that should be and should not be. And when the word of God is restored, brothers and sisters, everything that the word declares comes to pass. In fact, Israel experienced a sense of renewal all over again after 60 years of darkness and throughout history of the God's people. When the word of God is recovered and spread, then spiritual revival follows. Brothers and sisters, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says that the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the divisions of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intents of the heart. We need the word of God. We need His word today. His word has the components. In fact, there is four components to form a worldview. The question of origin, the question of meaning, the question of morality, the question of destiny, and all of these four components meets us in the Word of God. There is no other word, there is no other religion that can answer these four questions of life. It's a book that represents the guidelines and the standards, instituting the principles of the kingdom, permeating righteousness, peace, and joy. It's also a book of judgment, a book of love, a book of history and prophecy, and a book of promises. And today I want to focus and I want to rest my head on the focal point of this, that we will look at this book as a book of promises. And I'm believing for us here today, as we reach the end of the year, in the next 2.5 to 3 days, we are going to enter into the next year, that the authority of God's word in His promises be restored into your lives. We have almost come to that place sometimes when we ask ourselves, do we really believe His promises? Do we really believe in His word? And some of us do not believe that His word leads and guides us. You know, I'm reminded of that story in the book of Jeremiah 29, verse 11. You don't have to turn to it, I will say it. It was the story where the Lord spoke to Jeremiah and says, for I know the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. To give you a future and a hope. And God spoke to Jeremiah at the very pivotal point of Israel's history. For over 40 years, Jeremiah has been telling the people, hey, you know what? The Babylonians are going to come to get you. They're going to come and take you. But I want you to know that you are not to be confused when this happens, because my plans for you are good. My plans for you are not of evil, of peace, to bring you to a certain glorious end. And today the word of the Lord is saying the same thing to you. Whatever your situations are, the word of God will come true for you. The Word of God will lead you. Some of you are in search for directions. I can tell you something. You can search for directions all your life and not find any. He has the directions for your life in His Word. His Word says that my Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If I want to seek God's direction for my life, I need to find it in His Word. I can't ask people, what do you think I should do? Do you think I should do this? Do you think I should do that? Get back to the Word. He will speak to you through His Word. Go here, turn left, go straight. For those who feel that God has forgotten you, Bible says in Psalms 139, 70 to 18, how precious are thy thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they will be more in number than the sand. When I am awake, I am still with you. What the psalmist David was saying is this. I have made a comparison that your thoughts towards me are more than the number of sands in the sea. Can you count the number of sands in the sea? Can you count the grain? If you cannot count the grain and it has basically an infinite value, that is how much He thinks towards you. For those who need healing, the Bible says He sent His Word to you. John chapter 1 verse 1. I've sent my Word. The Word was in the beginning was the Word. The Word has now became flesh and now dwells among you. He said, I've sent my Word and healed your diseases and removed the destruction and delivered you from it all. In fact, as I was preparing this sermon, the song kept coming back. I've sent my Word. 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 For those who struggle with sin, was it not King David who said, I've taken your Word and I've hidden it into my heart that I may not sin against thee. Brothers and sisters, the Word of God is true and alive today. There is no other hope besides the Word of God. In Isaiah 55 verse 11 says, that which God has spoken will not return to Him void, but will accomplish all that He pleases, and it shall prosper in the thing for which He has sent it. And that's the Word of God today. When was the last time you opened the pages of this Word to read? When was the last time you accepted those words that is being spoken to you? When was the last time you referred to the Word for directions? When was the last time you made the Word of God your final authority in life? Many have sought to destroy it. Was it not the Dutch philosopher called Voltaire? He destroyed the faith of many believers. And in fact, you know, with his atheistic philosophies, he boasted that within 100 years, the Bible would disappear from the face of this earth. Voltaire died in 1728. And today the fastest best-selling book in the world is the Scriptures, the Bible. In fact, the irony, and it's been translated into 1,400 languages, and it's still advancing. You cannot stop the flow of the Word of God. It will come to you at some point of time, and it will hit your heart. Now, the irony of the whole thing is this. 50 years after Voltaire died, Geneva Bible Printing Press took over Voltaire's house and started printing Bibles. Brothers and sisters, many have tried to decimate the Word. Many have tried to cap the Word. But the Word of God is advancing. In 1966, Mao Zedong, he ordered the Red Guards, the Communist Party, to destroy seminaries, to destroy the schools, the churches, and to destroy the book of the Christians, the Bible. Mao Zedong is dead and gone. Mao Zedong is dead and gone. The fastest growing church today is in China. Brothers and sisters, in China, people smuggle Bibles in. In fact, you know, I was just reading an article that many of them don't have the kind of preaching materials we have today. All they have is the Word. And they tear the pages, not because they want to get rid of it. They tear to share it. Okay, you take John chapter 1, John chapter 2, John chapter 3. And they memorize it. And when they get up to speak, they don't speak like what we are speaking today. They just quote the Scriptures. And there was this particular story that I read, and they quote the Scriptures. And as they were reciting the Scriptures, the presence of God came and did what the Holy Spirit wanted to do. When you live the Word and you speak the Word and you declare the word, something happens. You know, I'm going to end my sermon. It's got a short sermon. But I want to say this to you. The Bible says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will still remain. My word will still remain. You know, many of you today are struggling in your pain. Sometimes life gets unfair. Life gives you blows. Hallelujah. Amen. Life gives you blows that you cannot stomach sometimes. But I want to say to you today, the word of God declares over you, forget what lies behind and press on towards that which is before you. Just 1 second. Press on that which is before you. Rise up from your pain. Rise up from your situations. Yes, it may be unfair. What was that? It may be unfair. It may be difficult. But the word of the Lord to you today is rise up and move on. I've got great things installed for you. I want to end with this story that has touched my heart. In fact, this story stirs my confidence in the power of His Word. And through very troubling and difficult times, sometimes when I read this story, it just touches my heart. And I quote it from a man called Rabbi Zacharias. So please lend me your ears as I recite this story. During my ministry in Vietnam in 1971, one of my interpreters who traveled with me, his name was Hien Pham. An energetic, devoted young Christian who had worked very closely as a translator with American military forces, purely as a civilian with no official or military responsibilities. He and I traveled the length of the country and became very close friends before I bade him goodbye when I left Vietnam to return home. We were both very young, and neither of us knew if our path would cross again. Within 4 years, Vietnam fell into the hands of the Viet Cong. And Hien's fate was unknown. 17 years later, in 1988, I received a surprise telephone call that began with Brother Rafi. Immediately, I recognized Hien's voice. We got caught up with all our pleasantries, and then I asked him, how did he manage to get out of Vietnam and come to the United States? I was not prepared for the story I was about to hear. Shortly after Vietnam fell to the communists, Hien was arrested. Accused of aiding and abetting the Americans, he was in and out of prison for several years. During one long jail term, the sole purpose of his jailers was to indoctrinate him against the West and especially against democratic ideals and the Christian faith. He was cut off from reading anything in English and restricted to communist propaganda in French or Vietnamese. The daily dose of the writings of Marx and Engels began to take its toll on him. One of the books he was given to read pictured the communist man as a bird in an iron-clad cage of capitalism, throwing itself against the bars of capitalist oppression and bloodying itself in the process. Yet still it continued to struggle in the quest for freedom. He didn't begin to buckle under the onslaught. Maybe he thought, I've been lied to all these years. Maybe God does not exist. Maybe my whole life has been governed by lies. Maybe the West has deceived me. The more he thought, the more he moved towards a decision. Finally, he made up his mind. He determined that when he wakes up the next day, he will not pray anymore, nor even think of his Christian faith again. The next morning, he woke up. He was assigned to clean the latrines, the toilets of the prison. It was the most dreaded chore, shunned by everyone. And so with much distress, he began the awful task. As he cleaned out a tin can filled to overflowing with toilet paper, his eye caught what he thought was English printed on one piece of paper. He hurriedly washed it off and slipped it into his hip pocket, planning to read it at night. Not having seen anything in English for such a long time, he anxiously awaited for a free moment. Under his mosquito net that night, after his roommates had fallen asleep, he pulled out a small flashlight and shining it on the damp piece of paper, he read at the top corner, Romans chapter 8. literally trembling with shock, he began to read. And we know that all things God works for the good to those who love Him. We've been called according to His purpose. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? And then he went on to read, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No! In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When Yin read it, he wept, and he wept, and he wept quietly and silently, not waking up anybody. He said, God, now I know that you are with me. This is a sign that you have not left me. He cried out to God, asking for forgiveness, for this was to have been the first day in years that he has not determined to pray. Evidently, the Lord had other plans. The next day, Yin asked the camp commander if he could clean the latrines again. He continued with this chore on a regular basis, because he had discovered that some official in the camp was using the Bible as a toilet paper. Each day, Hyun picked up a portion of scripture, cleaned it off, added to his nightly devotional reading. In this way, he retrieved a significant portion of the Bible. The day came when Hyun was released from jail. He promptly began to make plans to escape from the country. After several unsuccessful attempts, he began to build a boat in secret. After about 53 other people planned to escape with him, and Hyun was taking the lead. All was going according to plan until a short while before the date of their departure, there was a knock on Hyun's door. It was 4 Viet Cong soldiers. And they said, "We heard you're trying to escape. Is this true?" they demanded. Hyun immediately denied it and went on to distract them with other concocted story to explain his activities. Apparently convinced, they reluctantly left. But Hyun was troubled and disappointed with himself. "Here I go again, Lord, trying to manipulate my own destiny. Too unteachable in my spirit to really believe that you can lead me past any obstacle." He made a promise to God fervently, hoping that the Lord would not take him up to it. He prayed that if the Viet Cong were to come again, he would tell them the truth. Resting in the comfort of that impossibility, he was thoroughly shaken when only after a few hours before they were to set sail, the 4 men stood at his door once again. "We have our sources that we know that you're trying to escape. Is this true?" He resignedly says, "Yes, I am going to escape along with 53 other people. Are you going to imprison me again?" There was a pronounced pause. And then he leaned forward and whispered into his ears, "No, we want to escape with you." In an utterly incredible escape plan, all 58 of them found themselves in the high seas and suddenly engulfed by a violent storm. Hyun fell with his face in his hands, crying out to God, "Did you bring us out here to die? Did you bring us out here to die?" As he concluded his story, he said, "Brother Ravi, if it were not for the sailing ability of these 4 Viet Cong, we would not have made it." Brothers and sisters, that's the end of the story. That's a bit more, but I just cut short here. The Word of God has the ability to meet you at every point of need and time and season in your life. Just as Hyun was in prison, who would have imagined in the toilet? Romans chapter 8. Who would have imagined? In all the debilitating conditions that you were in, what came true was the Word of God. The only surety in life that you can ever have is the Word of God. That's the only book that will tell who you are, what you are, where you are, what you can do, what you can't do. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says this, "Let not this book depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night." Everybody say day and night. "That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then," everybody says then, there is a condition. "Then you will make your way prosperous and you will find good success." Brothers and sisters, take the word. Take the word. Live the word. Run with the Word. Make the Word the final authority in your lives, in your home. Is the walls of God's Word broken in your home today? Is it broken in your life? God wants to restore it back in 2014. That's His command for you. In the midst of all the situations that is happening around you, the news and everything, the only thing that is constant today is the Word of God. I cannot stress this further. And I trust the Holy Spirit to take this Word and touch your heart. Is the river of God's Word flowing in your heart today? Is the Word of God the final authority in your home? Is that wall broken today in your life? When was the last time you dedicated and surrendered yourself to the authority of His Word? Brothers and sisters, take the Word. Eat the Word. Live the Word. And out of the pages of this book, there will come life. Where the river of God flows, where the river of God's Word flows, there is life. You know, your breakthrough will come from the Word. Do you know what brought the children of Israel out of their wandering? It was the Word of the Lord that came to them. And He's going to speak to you through His Word. Take His Word. Every promise in this book, 3,000 promises, is for you. Do you have lack in your life? He says He's going to provide. Do you have directions in your life? He says He will direct you. Do you have financial needs? He says He's all sufficient. He's Jehovah Jireh. It's in the Word. Take the Word, friends. Eat the Word and live the Word. And you will have great success. Today I want to leave these three questions with you. Is the river of God's Word flowing in your heart today? Maybe you have tried to study, to read the Word, but something somewhere along the way has clogged something up. You don't find joy reading the Word. You know what? The Holy Spirit can help you with that. And the third question I have today is this. Is God's final Word the authority in your home? You know, I was convicted of that last night when I was preparing. And I began to pray. I said, Lord, Your Word will be the final authority in my home. Everything, it will be governed by Your Word. Amen. Shall we all arise? Let that be your mission. Study the Word. Read the Word. And allow it to sink into your heart. I want to encourage you. If you have been struggling to read the Word of God, maybe you have some sense of unbelief in your heart. It's grown cold. Maybe your heart is cold in regards to everything that the Bible says. I want to pray for you. I want the Lord to touch you and to bless you. If this message has spoken to your heart today, you know what? We'll open this altar. Can we have the musicians to come, please? We'll open this altar. And if that's your desire, Lord, I want to get back to Your Word, 2014. I want to be faithful in reading Your Word. And I want to make Your Word the final authority in my life. You come forth and you meet with the Lord. We'll pray for you. Can we please come? As we sing this song, if it's in your heart, you come forward. We'll pray for you.